Open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. That'd be the text of our lesson this morning. Proverbs 4, 14 through 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for that reading from the book of Proverbs. Thank you for looking in your Bible to see the setting for our lesson this morning, a lesson which I've entitled Avoiding Danger by Following the Rules, pretty basic concept. I'd like to illustrate this to you by mentioning this. Brazos Bend State Park is a 4,897-acre park located in the state of Texas, near the Brazos River in Needville. It was established in 1984. It covers an area of about 7.5 square miles. It's a pretty large park. And when you visit the park, you're a guest in a wild habitat. And you should treat the wildlife there with respect. The wildlife there is protected in the park, and feeding and harassing, injuring, or removing any of the wildlife there, of course, is prohibited. Thousands of people visit this state park every year. Some of the most dangerous creatures known to man live in this park. So the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department wants to make sure that all of the guests are properly informed and warned about potential hazards there. You can ensure your safety by following what they call the alligator etiquette. Before I proceed further with explaining what that is, I'd like to lay the groundwork for our lesson by talking about this. Very similar to avoiding hazards in a state park dealing with wildlife, you and I have to avoid the hazards that we find in the world. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter warns us to be sober and be on the alert because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We can avoid that hazard, that spiritual hazard for us, if we will follow God's rules. In Ephesians 6 and verse 11, Paul said, "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." In addition to all, in verse 16, taking up the shield of faith in which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. So Paul is preparing Christians to meet the onslaught that Satan gives us spiritually in this world. Now, I mentioned that I would come back to alligator etiquette that has something to do with the rules concerning the wildlife in this park in Texas. You can ensure your safety in the park by following the rules, the alligator etiquette rules, as they are called. These are instructions on how to behave around alligators. Close proximity to alligators is not a normal thing for everyone that lives in this country. And so when people go into their habitat, they need to be informed about how it is to be around alligators. These rules are plain and simple and straightforward that can really be understood by all ages of people. But as you and I are well aware and well acquainted, I'm sure, not only with regard to various park rules that might exist in the states of our nation, but any type of rules that we operate under, whether in the workplace or at school or something like that, it's not surprising for us to realize that there's a different reaction to a set of rules by people. You know that from experience, that there are people who just don't want to conform to rules. They don't like to follow rules. They judge rules to be of little value, and so they dismiss them a lot of times to their own hazard. In this case, park visitors can shun all advice and take those rules and throw them in the trash can. They're at liberty to do that. Sometimes a person may take a copy of those rules and just kind of set them aside, maybe intending to look at them later, put them on the dashboard of the car thinking, well, I'll take care of that a little bit later. I'm kind of excited to get in the park, so I want to do my thing. Then there would be those people who will read the rules and follow the rules, and it will result for them in a pleasant experience in the park. They'll have a safe experience there with their family, with their children. A general rule that should be in effect at all times with everyone, as we learn very quickly when we mature in this life, a general rule that should be in effect is be aware of your surroundings at all times. Take the necessary precautions to avoid any hazards that may come your way by being aware of your general surroundings. When you enter the park, remember that you are in the alligator's world. It's not your world. It's his world. And you're visiting his habitat. He's not visiting yours. So you need to be aware of that. Now, the spiritual application of this principle should be quite obvious to us, shouldn't it? Should we realize that the world is really Satan's habitat? We are in the world, but Satan controls this world. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Paul said of those who are perishing because they will not receive the gospel, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glorious Christ who is the image of God. So we're in Satan's habitat when we're in this world. In this world, God has given us rules to live by that will protect us from dangers and hazards that can cause harm to us. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In John 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is his spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. You and I can avoid hazards up to our souls by heeding God's rules. Now, of course, there are people, the kind of people who don't like to follow rules and will not follow God's rules. They might not throw their Bibles into a trash can. They just can stick them in a bookshelf somewhere and ignore them for a while, not consult them, and maybe even intend to read them later, but just chuck them away where they will be of no value to them. But beware. In any set of rules, there are warnings. Warnings to beware. And in most cases, there are very good reasons why rules are established in the first place. And that's certainly true in the spiritual realm. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3 and said this, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." In Colossians 2 and verse 4, he wrote and said, "I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument." There are warnings in God's rule book for us, intended to protect us from danger and from harm. So we might come to the conclusion when we look in God's book that his commands are good. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24, "So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today." For our good and for our survival. In Colossians 3 and verse 25, "He who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality." In Galatians 6, Paul said in verse 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will, from the flesh, reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life." By these passages, and many others we could include, but these are sufficient to establish our point that God's commands are good, good for man. Now, looking at alligator etiquette, rule number one, absolutely do not feed or annoy the alligators. That's a pretty good rule when you're in a state park, in their habitat. But by that token, and using that for an illustration, we can think maybe there's Satan etiquette, if you want to use the same terminology to parallel that situation. Satan etiquette, rules that we should go by in order to defeat the hazard of Satan in our lives, such as Romans 12 and verse 9. Abhor what is evil. Cleave to what is good. Not only do we hate evil, but we embrace what is good. Those two things are necessary Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. That's God's rule. That's the rule that we overcome the hazards and the dangers that Satan provides for us in this life. Very important for us to follow that rule, I think, don't you? Many times we're not as strong as we think we are, though. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we have this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. That's a very important warning for us. Remember, we emphasize the concept of beware. Beware. It's very important. Some might say, in this life, well, I can handle a little bit of alcohol. I can drink socially with my friends. It'll be okay. But in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 1, we learn that wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whosoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. In Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 31, do not look on the wine when it is red. When it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Someone may be saying in this life that, well, that watching that movie won't really have any adverse effects on me. It'll affect me very little. But Proverbs, once again, admonishes us in chapter 4 and verse 23 to watch over our heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs of life. We need to make sure that nothing in this life corrupts our hearts and the way that we think. Someone might reason, well, I'm going to do this, but it's just going to be one time. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it just once. But Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 admonishes us. Paul says, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, and that's what you do, when you submit yourself to sin, even if it is one time, when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one of whom you obey, whether of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. Someone says, well, my old friends won't cause me to sin. It's okay for me to hang around with them. All the while of ignoring the etiquette that God has given us, the rule He has given us in this life to beware. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Someone might say, well, missing one service of the church won't really hurt me. But in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's what we're to encourage one another to do. Someone says, well, I'll let my child do this, and it won't hurt. We'll just stop right here. We won't go very far into sin. I'll let him do it just this one time, just to have the experience. But let me ask you this question. Would you let your child see how close to a snake it could get? Would you let your child see how close to an alligator he or she could get? It wouldn't make good sense as a parent for us to allow that in the physical realm. Why would we allow it in the spiritual realm? It's something for us to think about. This person is very, very, very foolish. A picture's worth a thousand words, isn't it? Alligator etiquette, rule number 1A, speak to those violating the rules or contact a ranger immediately. I think that's pretty good advice. And if we want to apply that to the spiritual realm, we can. In the Old Testament, in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, says, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. And he goes on to describe a situation where people heed the warnings and they preserve their lives. And people do not heed the warnings. They do not preserve their lives. But if the watchman fails to warn and fails to communicate the message from God to his people, then when his people are lost, the blood of the watchman will be required because their blood will be on his hands. That same concept is similar to the one in the New Testament in Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you will not be tempted. This is the responsibility of brethren, to look out for one another, not to watch them as they take steps into a dangerous or hazardous situation where they might be hurt spiritually. How would you and I react if we saw other people playing in a nest of small baby alligators? Would we say something like, well, you know, after all, I'm not my brother's keeper? Would we say, well, let's just don't rush into anything here? Would we make that kind of statement, or would we say, a few little bites from these little critters won't hurt them very much? Would we say, well, you know, after all, their intentions are good, leave them alone? Or we might say, you know, most people don't get hurt by a baby alligator. That's pretty much harmless. Or we might say, you know, if I say something to them and they're playing in the midst of these baby alligators, you know, I might offend them. I might hurt their feelings. I better not say anything to them. You know, these statements are very, very silly, aren't they? And we could hardly imagine anyone saying those kind of things to justify their children playing in a hazardous or dangerous situation. Now, my question in view of that is, why do we react to physical danger so differently than we react to spiritual danger? Something for us to think about. Alligator etiquette, rule number 2, if you love your pet, keep it on a leash. There is a Satan etiquette we can apply to that, a spiritual application. We might look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Restrain them is the concept. Proverbs 22 and verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. In Proverbs 19 and verse 18, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. You see, the admonition from the pages of God's book to restrain our children, to discipline our children in the proper way, that's a smart thing to do. Rule number 3, do not assume alligators are slow-moving or sluggish. You're admonished by the rules to keep a distance of 30 feet from an alligator at all times. Not to assume that just because they have short legs, that they can't move very quickly. They can move at speeds up to about 30 miles an hour for the first 30 feet. And they can do that rather quickly before one realizes what happens. That's why that guy getting kind of close to make a picture there was very, very, very foolish. Don't assume that alligators are sluggish. We might apply that in a spiritual way by saying, do not be deceived. Satan is a master of deception. Jesus in John 8 and verse 44, in reference to the devil, says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In Revelation 12 and verse 9, John refers to him as the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That's primarily what Satan's all about, to deceive the entire world if possible. You know, there are many people in this life that just don't believe that Satan is real. But I'll tell you this, Jesus believed he was real. That's good enough for me. Jesus knew he was real. Jesus said that Satan is real and that he's dangerous. Therefore, I ought to take heed. Many people do not believe that Satan is dangerous. Jesus taught that he was. I think I'll go with the master on this one. How do we avoid being deceived? Well, there are what you and I might call Satan etiquette that we can take care of. We can make a spiritual application of this. And we won't look at all these passages, but I want to give you a flavor of what we're talking about when we say don't be deceived. We can learn to discern between good and evil, as the Scriptures teach us and admonish us very carefully to do. We can hide God's Word in our hearts in order that we would not sin against Him. We can approve the things that are excellent And those things are described very carefully for us in God's Word. We can realize that it is possible for us to fall away from the faith, and we can take measures in our lives to try to the best of our ability to see that we do not fall away from being faithful to God. We can run from sin. We can flee from it. We can turn around and get away from it as quickly as we recognize it. We can learn to follow and submit to our elders who watch over us, who feed us spiritual food, and provide what is good for us in admonitions. We can certainly obey our parents when they give us instructions. That principle is taught in the Scriptures. And, of course, to do what is right in every situation of life. And sow to the Spirit rather than to the flesh. These are a few things that the Bible talks about as to how you and I can avoid being deceived by the evil one who wants to destroy our souls. Let's look at another rule briefly. Rule number 4. If you hook a fish, an alligator may go after your catch. Do not continue to fish near an alligator, which shows interest in your fishing line or your catch. That's a pretty understandable rule, isn't it? Do not use a stringer for your fish. Keep them in a bucket. You toss a stringer of fish in the water, and there's a hungry alligator nearby. What do you suspect might happen? You might lose your fish. That has a spiritual application to it. What we're calling Satan etiquette, since these rules about the alligators are referred to as etiquette, new converts will be attacked by Satan, just as people who have been Christians for a long time will be. Satan will do everything that he can to overthrow a new convert's faith. That's why the instruction of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 is very important. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation. In Acts 2 and verse 42, we learned that the church, the first church in the city of Jerusalem, this was characteristic of them. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were doing this continuously. It was the apostles' teaching. It was the teaching that the Lord had given the apostles to convey to others. It was very important teaching. It is synonymous with the doctrine of Christ. It is synonymous with the Word of God. That was their responsibility. They were to teach people. These disciples, as a result, devoted themselves to that teaching. And what did they have as a result? The text tells us fellowship. Joint participation in spiritual endeavors is what they enjoyed. Also, the breaking of bread and prayer. Things that are characteristic of God's people. As we broke the bread this morning when we observed the Lord's Supper, on the first day of the week, as we have an example in the Scriptures to do, we pray together as God's people. We are striving to be just as devoted to the apostles' teaching as they were. That we must do. Alligator etiquette, rule number 6, recognize likely spots for gators and avoid those. You know, if you see a pile of twigs, grasses, and or soil near the lakeside or side of the trail, avoid it. It could be a nest, and the mother alligator is probably close by guarding it. This also goes for any group of small alligators, 1 foot in length or smaller. This is what we call a pod, and they are still under the protection of their mother. Mother alligators can be very aggressive if they feel their nest or pod is in danger. Beware. You see the rules warning you. Beware. Beware of this. But there are rules in God's book that we're to be aware of too. Recognize likely spots where Satan is active and avoid those spots would be good advice, wouldn't it? Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 6 and verse 13 to pray this, not to be led into temptation, but delivered from evil. In Psalm 119, verse 101, I have restrained my feet from evil, from every evil way that I may keep your word. You see those two things? I restrain my foot from evil in every evil way in order that I might keep your word. How important is it for us to do that? Well, we could look at more and more rules concerning the alligators in this state park, but I think that you have the message, have the point by now, and can make a parallel to following rules that are designed to prevent us from being overcome with danger and hazards in life. But the most important dangers and the most important hazards for us to overcome are those that have to do with our eternal soul. God has given us rules to follow in His book. We live in a world that's controlled by Satan. We must seek divine help to allow us to exist and go through this life unharmed spiritually. And God does provides that for us in His book. He provides what we need, the guidance that we need, to enable us to have a safe and pleasant life as we live here in expectation of heaven after a while. But we must heed His word in every aspect of our lives. Just like when in the park, the safest route is to observe all of the rules with regard to the alligators. If you're in our assembly today, and we can help you walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in, we'd be delighted to assist you in that way. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? That's a question that's going to come up again, over and over, and it'll come up again in the final day. Have you decided your view on that question? If you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you'll do whatever He says in order to enjoy the forgiveness of your sins and walk in newness of life and have heaven after this life is over. It won't make any difference to you. You won't judge His law by saying, "Well, I don't understand how water removes sins from people." You will simply, as a believer, follow the instructions of your Lord. Your Lord commands you as a believer to repent of sins, to confess His name before men, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. And when you come up out of immersion in water, you're coming up out of a grave where you have put the old man to death and you walk in newness of life, as described in Romans chapter 6. Can we help you do that today? You want to become a Christian today? We'd be delighted to see you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and put on Christ. Can we help you do that? Can we encourage you to? Can we encourage you to walk closer to God when you leave than when you first came in? Any way that we can. If we can help you, please respond to the Lord's invitation. Let us encourage you to do so while we stand together and sing this song of encouragement for you. May God bless you today.